a few more, you know, if I had a title, I guess it'd be something like God Will Do Right. He always has done right, and He always will do right. And one thing you can always trust, the Lord knows what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And if the members of the body of Christ want to keep their sanity and not go crazy in a crazy world, one thing that you've got to do, and I had to learn this, is to resign from being the CEO of your life. You've got to turn the reins over from you running your life and put it in the Lord's hands. And the Bible says all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that all things working together for the good is the bad, good, it's the bad, it's the ugly, it's all things working together for your good down the road somewhere. And that good is the glory that we're going to have in eternity. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few moments. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice he says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And you could write beside verse 2, self-centeredness. And that's what it all comes down to. Men today and people today are self-centered. And they love their self. And they don't care about hurting somebody else as long as they get what they want. And that's basically what it's about. But these are trends that describe the moral and the spiritual conditions of the world. You'll find in verse 3, it says they're without natural affection. I see babies being murdered by the millions in this country of ours. It's supposed to be a God-fearing country, a Christian nation. You say, you're talking about abortion? Yes, I'm talking about. That's without natural affection. It's not natural that a mother would want to harm the child. It's not natural for a mother to take her children that's been born and she bore and birthed them and they're up an age or two and put them in a trunk or in a car and drown them. That's without natural affection. It's not natural for a woman to love another woman or a man another man. That's without natural affection. And we're living in these times today more so than any other day, and these trends are, they're trying to make them as a way of life, and it's not a way of life. They're trying to say that it's normal, and it's not normal. And the Bible has a lot to say about these things. And if you stand against these trends that's coming upon them like waves that's from the ocean that's hitting us, and it's one right after another, you're going to suffer as the Apostle Paul suffered. Look what else he says. He said they're without natural affection. They're truce breakers. No confidence in people no more. There used to be a time when a man's word was his bond. You remember that saying? If he give you his word, that was all you need. But not today anymore. Why? Truce breakers. You don't know whether they're going to con you, lie to you, cheat you, steal from you. As the old saying is, there's nobody you can trust anymore. And notice they're false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You do good, the goodness is in the Word of God. You live a good, clean life, honoring Christ. You're despised by this world. They don't want something to show them up for what they are. They're comfortable around their own kind. And you come in and you represent Christ and you represent holiness and they are unholy. They despise you. That's why the cross is an offense to people today. A cross was for criminals. And they don't want to bow to a cross. They don't want to say that they need a Savior. They see themselves as being good. And they see themselves as proper. And they see themselves attaining to higher ground. Darwin's theory, from the puddle to the paradise. And man is evolving, getting better and better. I don't see it that way. I see man being more corrupt. I hear these people talk about man's problem is their environmental, their environment that they live in, and the slums, and we get rid of poverty, and we get better schools, and we have better housing developments, and we do all of this and get the environment straightened out, then man's problems will be solved. I submit unto you, that's not so. You know how I know that's not so? Because God Almighty put a man and his wife in a perfect environment. Adam and Eve was in the perfect environment. They was where there was no pain, no sorrow. They was in the garden of God. And what did they do? They corrupted themselves. And finally God had to put them out of that perfect environment. And man's been going downhill ever since. Only solution to this world's problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, he says they're traitors. They're heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And boy, you don't need no interpretation on that. I mean, we got our priorities mixed up in this world so bad. We'll pay millions and millions of dollars to watch and pay players to make millions, and the footballs and the basketballs and the teams and all of that. And they're a bunch of millionaires out there playing a game. And yet people dying and going to hell, and people grumble if they had to come to church and support it. Isn't that something? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's people who'd rather be at some sporting event than to sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and it affects us all. Come on now. Do like old that old preacher. Let me hear an amen once in a while. But that's the trends of this world. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in playing the ball or going to watching a game. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying when we put more emphasis on that than we do the Word of God and getting the gospel out and seeing people saved, there's something wrong in our hearts. Then he goes on, he says, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now you want to see this form of godliness, turn to 2 Kings. And look in 2 Kings chapter 17. And what I'm doing is just describing this world. And it's in a mess. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with him. Foolishness. Secular education and humanism ruining our young people. Evolution being taught, no creator. That's what the environmental movement's all about. I told one that was talking about the greenhouse effects and all blah 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 and all that stuff. You say, well, you believe in destroying your planet? No, I don't believe in destroying the planet. I believe that we ought to try to do our best and live in, and without throwing trash out. I mean, I'd go up there to the road up there in front of the house. Beer cans thrown out on the yard. I'd like to get a hold of them scum bums that can't keep their trash and take it home. I don't believe them throwing it out your window. Amen, amen, amen. Makes me mad. I go up there and beer bottles in the ground. You can't mow up there next to the road. Beer cans, trash, McDonald's bag. Pick up that stuff. Get it all over. No telling who's been done. Bunch of bums. You know that? No, I don't believe in throwing it out. I don't believe in littering and clearing it up and just throwing everything out. But I want to tell you there's a God that's still on the throne and He can take care of His creation too. And I've done read the last chapter of the last book, and I know what's going to happen to this planet. And I ain't worried about greenhouse effect, and I'm not worried about the trees or some lizard or some toad or some frog that might go extinct. I don't hear nobody complaining about the dinosaurs going extinct. If they're going to go extinct, then God wants them to go extinct. Let them go. I wouldn't care if copperhead snakes went and stink around here. I don't like them. Say, well, you have rats. Well, we'll kill them too. Make rat poison. All I'm trying to get you to see, folks, we start loving the creature more than the Creator. We start honoring Mother. There is no Mother Earth, by the way. If there is, she's Allah's wife. Ain't neither one of them no count. There's only one God and one Creator. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one that saved me. Say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's good. I don't really care. Look in 2 Kings. You'll see a form of godliness. That's what this is. By the way, this environmental, that's a religion too. That's all it is. In Romans chapter 1, he said that they worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship. A worship. Something that's an object of worship. That's religion. That's what the religious do. But look what in 2 Kings, notice in this chapter. Let's begin in verse. They go in there. Look in verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. This is Israel. And made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove. Now, a grove is a little patch of woods, and in that woods and trees and bushes, you know, and they have a little statue up there and they set in there and all of that, and that's a grove. And they go in there behind them bushes and trees, and they get in there and do their little worship and all that little stuff, and that's holy place. Look what he said. And they worship all the host of heaven and they serve Baal. Now come down and verse 70. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of His sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. So because of all their idolatry and all of their witchcraft and all of their palm reading and all of their fortune tellers and their necromancing and all of those things and speaking to the dead like that guy on television and some demon whispering in his ear something about your past and somebody died and I believe it was Mary or oh yeah blah 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 and all of that. That's demon possession and people just eat that garbage up. Why don't somebody ask him what the lottery numbers is going to be for the next week? How come it's always the past? Because you can't check it. Always the past. You know why? The devil's not He's not all-knowing. And He doesn't know the future except what's wrote down. And He can't predict the future. You know what prophecy is? That's history wrote in advance. That's God writing history down before it becomes history. And do you know that this book is full of prophecies that was wrote hundreds of years before they came to pass, and every one of them, not one of them, failed, and they all came to pass? You can't get that out of Nostradamus. You can't get that out of somebody on television telling you something in the future. Oh, believe all of them seers and all of those things like that, and looking up the horoscopes and the Ouija boards and all that. That's what these people got into. And it was an evil and it was an abomination. And God just said, okay, I'll just leave you to that. Look what happened to them. Now come down to verse 18. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of His sight. Come down to verse 24. After He removed them, look what happened. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutta and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them and slew some of them. So you got God being removed out of the land. And so the king of Assyria that took them over brought in men of different nations and people of different nations to occupy that land. But they had a problem. They didn't fear the Lord. And so God was killing them. Look what happened. Come down to verse 29. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places. Come over with me to verse 31. The Avites and the Nimhas and the Tardax and the Sebarbar burnt their children in fire to Andrabamit. Them gods of Sepharvaim, whatever. Now verse 32 is the form of godliness. So they feared the Lord. In other words, they brought a priest in. He taught them about the Lord, the true God of heaven and earth. And they brought this priest in. I didn't have time to read all that. And all these men had their different religions. But he taught them to fear the Lord and keep their religion. You know what that is? Look here, verse 32. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners or traditions. In other words, look in verse 40. Howbeit they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images. In other words, they kept their religion. They just attached the name of the Lord to it. You understand what I'm saying? You know what you have here in all these different men, all these different people, that's denominations. These people had their own denomination, their own way of doing things, but they didn't fear the Lord. Priest comes in and says, we'll attribute this to the Lord. And so they said, they kept their religion, they kept their idols, they kept their traditions, and they just said, well, this is to the Lord. And so they feared the Lord and served their own gods. That's what men's doing. That's a form of godliness. That's religion today. They've got their own gods. They call Him the Lord. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, folks, there's so much in 2 Corinthians. Kings verse chapter 17, it'd take you a year to dig it all out about the form of godliness and religion. I mean, you've got religion today. You've got one denomination doing this thing, one denomination doing that thing, and they're all saying the Lord. They're all saying the Lord. We fear the Lord, but we serve Him this way. We fear the Lord, but we're so that men today say, well, we're all traveling different roads going to the same place. No, you're not. The Bible says there is one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way of the cross, is the only way that you'll ever get to heaven. You can bow down to every god, every idol, go to every church, be baptized till the tadpoles knows you so scaredy number, and get dunked every week if you want to, and end up in hell. It's not that way. It's His way, or it's no way. But these people, look in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says, puts it like this. He says there in verse chapter 1. He said, would to God ye'd bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And religion is subtle today. Most religion has an element of truth about them. And a good lie has truth in that lie. But it's not all truth. Do you understand? And so all religion has an element of truth. But Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And He says, thy word is truth. Where is truth today? It's in the King James Bible. That's where it's at. Where's wisdom today? It's in the King James Bible. That's where it is. And the church, the body of Christ today, is to be the pillar and ground of truth. That's the only place where it's at. It's not in denominations and religions. Why, the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. Any religion that has you to do anything for your salvation other than trust Christ and what He did on the cross for you is an idolatrous religion. And it's an enemy of the cross of Christ. Look what He says. He said, verse 3, for I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now watch verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, you mean there's another Jesus out there? There sure is, just as sure as you're sitting right here today. And he's being preached today. There's another Jesus whom ye have not preached, whom we have not preached. Or if ye receive another spirit, there's another spirit out there that's not the Holy Spirit. And folks, I want to tell you something. I've had people say, I'd like to lay my hands on and pray for you. And I tell them, I've told them, you pray for me all you want, but keep your hands off of me. In this Bible, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of hands. Everything Satan does is a counterfeit. You better watch people want to put their hands on you and to do something to you. Now, do you hear me? People say, well, what about you can be under the influence of an evil spirit and be saved. You understand that? That's what he's talking about. Don't receive him. Or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Bear with him. Don't give in to it. Stay under the gun. Oppose it. Folks, they're out there. and they're a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Well, what's the power that religion denies today? Well, Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation." He said, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to those which are saved, it is the power of God." You know where the power of God is at? It's in the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling men how to be saved by preaching the gospel to them. That's the power. And that's what people deny today. That's what religion denies today. People say, "Well, believe in the cross and be baptized and God will save you." That's a lie. That's a lie with truth. You got to believe in the cross, but God won't save you until you get baptized. That's a lie. I've had people say, "Well, I believe you got to repent of all your sins, turn from all your sins, confess all your sins, and confess to God, and turn from your drunkenness and your wickedness and your lying and your cheating and your stealing. And what about them sins that you don't realize that are sins?" But they are. Do you know the Bible says, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? Sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin." There's a lot of sins that we don't even know that we're sinning when we're sinning. How are you going to confess them? If God Almighty waited till the drunks turned from their drinking and their cussing and their wickedness and turned from all of that and confess all of that and repent of all of that and do all that, folks, and then God will save you. That's a lie. God will save you the way you are. Come to Him like you are and just trust Christ and God will save you. Say, "Well, what about all the other?" Let the Lord take care of it. He'll do right. And that's the whole point of the message. God will do right. Everybody wanting to try to clean your act up before you even get an act. I see a man out here. Let's say I'll use Andy and Tammy. I hadn't used them a lot. I pick people out. It's their turn. Let's say that Andy and Tammy, and I've been down to their house. They've got a beautiful house, home down there. But let's just say Andy decides he's going out there and he's going to plant him an apple tree. He might have one. I don't know. I didn't check his trees. But let's say he plants him a couple of big old apple trees and they just grow and he works them apple trees and he digs around them, fertilizes, and they just grow and grow. And one day, he's out there and he sees a little apple. And he sees another one. And he sees another one. And the whole tree's filled with apples. And he said, "My, my, my." And they just turn red, and them big old red, delicious, you know. And some of them start to turn. And one day I look out there and I say, "Anyway, he's got in a big old bucket. He's just picking green apples and all red apples and picking every apple." I said, "Well, anyway, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm sick of this apple tree. I'm going to kill it." And he just picks all every apple, the little tiny ones and every apple. And there's a couple blooms that's coming out and he grabs them and he strips that apple tree down to no fruit whatsoever. And Tammy comes out there and says, "Well, I guess that got rid of that tree." Next year, what's he doing? Revival time. He got to go back out there and pick them apples again. "What are you doing, Andy?" "Tammy, I said I'm killing this apple tree. I'm tired of it. You did that last year. Well, I got to do it again. I'm going to keep doing it till the thing dies." Now let me ask you a question. How long will Andy have to keep picking them apples to kill that tree? How many pickings does it take to kill an apple tree? Will that kill it? Isn't that what religion wants you to do? Getting rid of the fruit that your old nature is producing. You see, when Jesus Christ, the Bible said that God made Him to be what? Sin. You know what that sin is? That sin is lust. You know what Eve did in the garden? She lusted. She partook of the fruit of knowing good and evil. Lust. She lusted after the evil. Now the Bible says when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So this old sin, Jesus Christ died for your... He became your old nature. He became your sin. But He also, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, He died for the sin, your sins. So, your sin is the nature that produces the fruit, and the fruit is the sins. You can pick all the fruit off and all the sins out of your life, but you still got the tree, and until that tree's taken care of, you've got a sin problem. And picking the fruit is not going to kill the problem. So Jesus Christ came and He died for it all. Say, well, when we get saved, is the problem solved? No, Paul said the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another. He said it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's a continuous battle. But one thing I know for sure, I'll never face my sin and my sins at the judgment of God because Christ was judged for them. And I don't have to get out and pick the fruit off. I don't have to get out and try to strip my life of all the fruit. All I got to do is just relax in what He's done for me. You say, well, what about you? I do want to live a life pleasing to Him. And I try, but my very best is really not good at all. I have a desire after the inward man to honor the Lord. But sometimes the things that I want to do, I find not. That I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Then I have to, with Paul said, oh, the wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. One day, so God's gone, the Bible says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God sees our problem, and our problem is in flesh. And so God sees that. What are we going to do about it? We can't overcome it. We can't shed it. It's like a dead corpse running. We're carrying it around all the time. One day the Lord's coming back and He's going to give me a new what? A new body. And my old body is going down. And it's the worms. Job said the worms shall devour it. And we want to be changed in the likeness of His glorious body. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Now I want to tell you, God will do right if you'll let Him. He has done right. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our... What kind of body do we have? Our vile body. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. One of these days I'm going to have a new body. One of these days I'm not going to be tormented with this old body. This old body, hey, it don't want to serve the Lord. My old fleshly mind don't want to serve the Lord. This old body sometimes gets in my way. Sometimes if I turn wrong, it's excruciating pain. Even now, after the surgery, takes my breath away. If I twist a little, just a certain way I twist, I can't even bear it hardly. And I said, Lord, one of these days, this is going to be over. Thank God for it. God's going to do right. You know what he says in 2 Timothy? Look in 2 Timothy where he talks about in chapter 2. Follow Paul and you'll suffer. But your suffering just makes you appreciate what's ahead of us. David, how long have I been going? Where did David go? Doesn't run him out. He's gone. My timekeeper has gone. I don't know how long I've been preaching. But anyway, 34 minutes. See, that's not. I still got a few more minutes to go. I want you to see something. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 7, he says, consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer what? Trouble. As an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Come down to verse 12, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, well, where in the world are you going to be dead with Him at? Right here. Right here. You see, Christ was identified with you. He became what you are. And He's identified with you. So it's up to you to identify with Him by receiving Him as your own personal Savior. Look what He says, if we've been dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. That's not deny us in salvation, because once we're in the body of Christ, there's nothing that can take us out of it. There's nothing that can separate us. But what He's denying there is the arraignment. He said there, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us of that reigning. Now look down with me, verse 13. How do I know that? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. You see, when Jesus Christ on that cross died, that His body, He became our sin. And our sins, God Almighty, as though started a body out here. And that body's the body of Christ. And they're saved by the grace of God. It's called the dispensation of grace in here. And it's a mystery which was kept secret since the foundation of the world. All that's in this body are those that trusted what He did back here for them. There's nobody in this body that didn't get there by the cross. And if they believe that in some other way, they're not in that body. Well, look what He said. He said, if we believe not, even though you're in the body, one time you believed, you trusted Christ as your Savior, but somewhere down the road you quit believing. Look what He said. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. Why? He cannot deny Himself. If He denies one member of His body, He's denying Himself. You know how I know that? You got a little finger. Now if you had an accident and you got it cut off, I'm sorry, but if everybody here got a little finger, Most of you got a little toe, hadn't you? Big toe. I used to talk Kid Robbie about him having Flintstone, Fred Flintstone toes. I just say what pops in my head. I want to tell you something. Is that little finger you? Just as much you as your hand, isn't it? Can you deny that little finger? Can't deny it. We're members of His body. Just like the members of our body make up our whole body, we individual members make up His whole body. And if one of those members quit believing, he cannot deny himself. He will be faithful to that one member that doesn't believe. Because if he denies him, he's denying himself. Just like if you deny your little finger, you'd be denying yourself. Now, he might not let him reign, but he will not deny him being a member. Now, folks, the problem, what I want you to see, and maybe we'll continue with this, is the Lord will do right in salvation. He'll do right in all of our everyday affairs. And many of us go through a lot of suffering. And next week, I want to talk to you about Christian suffering. And we're going to suffer with Him. We're going to reign with Him. And that suffering you'll find out in this Bible. There are two types of suffering. There is physical suffering that we all do. And there's mental suffering that we all go through. And if you're not suffering for Christ, maybe it's because you're not in the body of Christ. But rest assured, if you're in this body, you're going to suffer. Why? You got there the same way I did. And this world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. And this body is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to show you all.